you got a lawn or some trees or some bushes and you want some advice, here's the place to come for it. Bob Bertog is the president of the Bertog Landscape Company. Hi, Bob. Welcome back.
Hi, John. How are you this week?
Good. It's humid and we don't like it.
It's hot, humid, and thunderstorms. Perfect recipe for diseases. I have to say, in all the years I've been doing this, I've never seen it worse.
Really? So
yeah.
Then what does that mean? What do you do or what do people say? What does that mean?
Well, one thing for sure, it's going to want you to talk about taking preventative measures next year, because some of this stuff that's happened now, it's too late. Obviously, the damage is done, but you're going to see a lot of fall overseeding in these areas that have died back.
Died back. You're talking about lawns?
Turf, yeah.
Turf. And the grass is dying because it's so humid and hot, and thunderstorms should be good for them, though, right?
No, because it's excess moisture with excess heat, so it's a perfect breeding ground for fungi to colonize and just grow and damage the turf.
Hmm. So then,
some
what
do
is
more
that,
damage than other.
What does that look like then? Just brown spots or dead grass somewhere?
Dead grass and spots. Sometimes it looks like where a dog urinates, and then these smaller spots that start out at the size of like a silver dollar, they coalesce into these big patches, and then that's when you really start noticing it. And you know, by then you might not have time to even put down a curative fungicide.
And you can't do anything about the mushrooms and mold that grows, but you can put down a fungicide. Is that right?
Correct. There's fungicide you can put down now that will stop the fungi to continue to colonize, but it doesn't reverse the damage that's been done. So there's certain diseases that where they just affect the leaf of the plant, and those will push out with new growth. But there's some that affect the crown of the plant, and it actually will kill the plant. And then you're going to end up going to rake it out in the fall and top dress and seed.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to do that now. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks.
And when you say plant, do you mean grass or do you mean other plants?
Grass. It's an individual. Each grass, I call it a plant. It's a grass plant, and it has blades of grass on the plant.
I see. Okay, got that. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. But I could put something down on that. I didn't know that I could do much about this. Although I'm talking about that vomity-looking stuff. You're not talking about that.
No, that's not damaging at all. That's just gross-looking.
Yeah, right. Okay, 312-981-7200. Ready for some calls, Bob?
Sure.
I think Jack is talking about what you're talking about. Hey, Jack, what can we do for you?
It sounds like you hit the nail on the head. All of a sudden, I got an area in my lawn, but my neighbor's lawn is right up next to mine, and his is perfect. But I got these big brown spots, so I pulled them up thinking they were grubs, but I didn't see any of those little things underneath there. I used grub killer earlier this year. It's supposed to prevent it.
Yeah.
But then the guy that cuts my grass said, no, he said, I have another customer that had the same thing. And she said that she was told it was finch bugs. Has he ever heard of a thing called finch bugs? And I don't see anything when I pull the grass up.
Finch bugs are very small, and they attack the top of the grass blade. But it's been so wet this year. Personally, I haven't seen any finch bugs. I've heard reports of them south of where I am, but I have not seen any in our area. And I think with all the finch bugs, like dry, hot weather, but it's dry being the key, and it has not been dry. We're 3.5 inches over normal.
What's the deal with his neighbor's lawn then, Bob?
Well, there could be a number of things. It depends on the fertilizing program between the two properties. Is it irrigated? Is it not irrigated? You know, is it a Kentucky bluegrass versus a ryegrass? There's a whole plethora of different things it could be that can make the changes look different.
I hate to tell you what I was thinking about doing. You're probably going to hate me for this. Mm. I was thinking, because I actually replaced the whole front lawn a couple of years ago with new sod, et cetera, because
yeah.
I had these big round blotches of some weird grass. They said it was Bermuda grass popping up all over, and I put stuff down to kill it, and it turned all white, and I dug it up, put new grass in there. Then I had new sod put down. I really went nuts with it. I'm to the point now I'm thinking of taking the whole thing up and putting artificial turf in the front. What do you think of that?
We do a lot of that in the city, especially in the city, because people can't grow grass in the city.
Yeah.
My backyard is beautiful. The grass is gorgeous. It's thick, but the front is horrible. So I'm thinking of doing that. So your company does that?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right, I'm going to have to figure out how to get a hold of your company in that, because I want to get an estimate of what it would cost. Because I figure cutting the grass, having a guy cut it every week, watering it, fertilizing it, et cetera, I might be less expensive over the long run, over years, to put artificial turf in there because there's some really nice artificial turf.
Really? Does artificial turf look pretty good these days?
It's unbelievable, some of the products that are out there. They have putting greens. They have shorter grasses for dog runs. Yeah. And I redid my whole backyard into it with the dog turf. And
it just makes me sad to give up on natural grass.
Yeah, but the mud doesn't come into the house when the dogs come in.
And I was told by somebody that one of the park districts or one of the school districts who has it in their fields there, they said what they do is when the leaves get on it, they go over it with a lawnmower set up real high just to suck up the leaves. They vacuum it with their lawnmower.
Yeah, right.
They said during the year, all you do is if you get dog poop on it, you scoop it up and hose it off, and it goes down into the ground, and it looks like, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. All right, well, good luck to you. I'll tell you how to get a hold of Bob Bertog. I don't know. How do you get a hold of Bob Bertog?
You can go onto our website, and there's a link to our customer service.
And what's that, BertogLandscaping.com?
No, landscape, not landscaping. BertogLandscape.com.
Okay, there you go. We're talking to Bob Bertog, the president of the Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling. He's a certified landscape pro. He comes on our show Wednesdays to answer your questions about what's going on in your yard. Bob, this question says, can you, John Williams, ask why my impatience flowers leaves are turning yellow? I've used Miracle-Gro to fertilize. I'm not sure what the problem is. Some of our plants are doing real poorly, too, this year, Bob. Is it, like you've been saying, the heat and humidity?
Well, actually, the yellowing of annual flowers is indicative of too much water. Some of that you can't control because we've had excess rain, but a lot of people tend to overwater flowers. And if they're turning yellow, that's probably what's going on.
Yeah, that's that may well be the case then. Let's go to Gail. You're next. You're on WGN with Bob. Gail, what can we do for you?
Hi. I've had holly bushes in my yard for over 20 years, and I've never had an issue with them. I don't do too much to them other than an occasional fertilizing, but other than that, they've been beautiful. This year, I went out of town towards the end of the cicada season, and I came back, and they were completely browned out. There wasn't a green leaf on them.
Yeah. The whole plant is just completely desiccated?
Browned. I don't know whether it was cicadas or not. I'm guessing that's what it was, but they were fine when I left, and when I came home, they're two big ones. They're like almost 6 feet tall.
No, I don't think it was cicada damage. I meant desiccated, like they're completely dried out.
Yeah, right.
Which I don't know. I can take a stab at it, but it sounds like something attacked them. Either an insect got in there, but if the leaves are still on there, it's hard to say what could have happened. Could have been a disease. And if you don't see the progression of what's going on and you went from something completely healthy to something dead over a couple-week period, it's hard to say. You know, you have to see the symptoms and the progression.
Well, is it clear when the plant is dead or not? What I do sometimes is take a branch or a twig or a vine part of it, and I break it in half. And if I still see some green there, I think it looks bad, but it's still alive. What's the test? How do you know when to give up on a plant, Bob?
That's the perfect test. As you scratch back the bark or take a branch like you did and peel off the bark, and you can see if there's green behind it, there's still living tissue underneath there, which is very possible. It could have been herbicide damage. Maybe somebody put down weed killer on the lawn and it drifted onto the plants. Because this summer you have to be especially careful with herbicides with this heat. And if you put down a herbicide, it's called volatize, and it stays in the air in any type of breeze, and it moves that herbicide onto areas you don't want it to. That's very possible that happened to the plant, too.
Yeah. Good luck to you. 773 says it's hot and humid. Should I still be watering my bushes?
We've had plenty of rainfall. You don't have to for the trees and shrubs.
We live on a golf course.
I'll take that back. If they're brand new, yes, then you still have to help get those roots established. But established plants, that we've had plenty of rainfall.
We live on a golf course near Huntley that has thousands of Canadian thistles. How do we get rid of them?
A non-selective herbicide, and you have to be careful not to hit it on the desirable grass. But that's I've never heard of Canadian thistle be a favorable plant on a golf course. So I would talk to the superintendent over there and ask him what he's trying to do.
Yeah, right. Is fall, specifically October, the best time to lay sod, Bob?
You can lay sod any time during the year as long as you have water. If you keep it watered, it'll knit and it'll grow. But October, you're starting to get too late to be putting seed and sod down, because if it doesn't get established before winter, you want those roots to be fully rooted to survive the winter.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. All right, so maybe September? I mean, if you were just going to do it for the purposes of having it ready next year, then September, what would be the ideal month or week?
Typically, we say Labor Day, but sometimes sometimes the weather will break sooner than that, like after April 15th. August 15th is a safe window to say, okay, now it's time to start talking about lawn restoration.
For next year.
And again,
year.
Sod you can do anytime. It's available.
But then you're also talking about aeration or top seeding and things like that?
That's after August 15th.
Okay, good to know. 312-981-7200. Rich, you're on WGN. How can we help you, Rich? You're on the air. Hi,
yes,
Rich.
I have a white... Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good.
Bob, I have a white brick home with ivy on the front and a little bit on the side. My insurance company refuses to insure my home because of the ivy. So I personally cut it back a lot, but I'm leaving a residue of these little black spots when I take the ivy off.
Yeah.
Is there anything that will take that off of my white brick without ruining it?
I would let it dry completely. Leave it on. It's going to take a while, but let it completely dry out, and then I would just take a scrub brush and try and just wash it off. But the reason they probably won't cover the insurance is because ivy, if it gets stuck into that mortar, and then you go to take it down, all the mortar can come out with it.
Fortunately, I don't see any damage to the mortar right now. So, and they have now, since I've cut it back, and they have come out to check out my home, they have insured me now. But I just have that remnant that I'd like to get rid of on a white brick house.
Yeah, sounds like you're going to need a ladder.
Let it dry out.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Good luck to you on that, Rich. One more here. What about Margaret? You're on WGN. Margaret, how can we help you?
Well, I have rust in my yard on the sod. What I was going to put down melorganite, is that enough to give it nitrogen, or do I need something better?
Yeah.
Well, typically, rust is indicative of low fertility. So melorganite's a fine organic product to use. But I would probably get something with a little higher boost of nitrogen to really push the growth. Because then as the grass grows, it'll push the rust out. And it'll be fine. It's not damaging.
So more nitrogen still.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's just a fertilizer, and that's the number on the bag, right?
Correct. It's the first number on the bag. You could do like a 21-3-5, or 20% nitrogen would be a decent fertilizer to use.
All right, Bob. This is compelling stuff for people who are trying to get their lawn fixed up, and I'm sorry that it's so hot and humid and such a bite for people, but why don't you give us more advice this time next week? Sound good?
I'll be calling in from the Morton Arboretum next week.
Oh, no kidding. Why is that? What are you doing there?
We have a state association trade show there, and it's outdoors, and it's an opportunity for all the contractors to come and see what's new and about in the industry.
Well, then fill us in on that, too. We'll talk to you next week, Bob.
Okay. Sounds good, John. Have a great week.